Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, brought to you by Breeden RV Center. Breeden RV Center, family-owned and operated, a no-pressure, laid-back atmosphere, and always home of the free maintenance for life.
This is the Fish City Grill Ruskin and Zach Podcast. Check out the specials this month at Fish City Grill. Cajun crawfish and shrimp tacos for only $13.99. Horseradish crusted salmon, $18.99. And Tuesday night, crawfish boils on the patio with live music. It's all at Fish City Grill, Fort Smith and Rogers.
You are heading home with Ruskin and Zach.
All right, we're back here on Ruskin and Zach. Get some intel on some of these stars that we, some that we knew before March Madness, and some who've maybe helped themselves a lot with March Madness. And we're going to talk to Brian Kalbrowski from USA Today, talking a little NBA draft here on Ruskin and Zach. Hey, Brian, good afternoon.
How's it going?
Great, great. So we'll start around here, and we'll start with Moses Moody. Where is he going to go? Everyone, I mean, it's a foregone conclusion. He's leaving school after 1 year, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Moses Moody is, you know, has been on everyone's radar as a pro prospect for years now. I mean, he's somebody that I think most scouts and executives were fully familiar with before he even played a game at Arkansas. I mean, realistically, his Arkansas starting five, or sorry, his Montverde starting five, you know, could have competed with any of the teams in the country in college basketball this year. I mean, I think that, you know, he was a better teammate for Cade Cunningham, and, you know, same with, you know, Daron Sharp, than the guys that Cade actually played with at Oklahoma State. So I definitely feel that Moses Moody is a lottery pick at this point in his process. He's somebody who I think made a positive impact on both sides of the ball. And he's somebody who, realistically, outside of the top few guys that, you know, you kind of hear the most, Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, Jalen Green, Jonathan Kuminga, is probably the next name. It's not him. He's in that conversation alongside, you know, his high school teammate, Scotty Barnes, Keon Johnson, Jalen Johnson, Jaden Springer. Those are probably the other names, Sharif Cooper as well, that really jump off the page as the kind of the next guy. But, you know, I think as early as five is kind of when his range really starts in terms of teams, you know, giving him serious consideration.
I'm going to ask you a question. The day after Arkansas season ended, I'll ask you a question we asked our listeners. And in the NFL, when you've got a top five, top seven pick, you're expecting that guy to come in and play right away. The NBA drafts a little bit differently. They're looking 3 years down the line at what you're going to be. Is Moses Moody NBA ready today?
Well, I don't know if he's NBA ready today, but I don't know if it matters. You know, I think realistically, in a lot of ways, many of the guys that we see picked in the lottery, you know, year after year, are not NBA ready. I mean, was Kobe NBA ready when he was drafted? Like, not really. I mean, obviously, there are guys who are the exceptions to the rule. I mean, Luka Doncic was one of the most accomplished, you know, prospects we'd ever seen, considering everything he had done at the, you know, Euro level before he came over to the States. But, you know, I think that his resume already for Moody, you know, coming through the Team USA system, coming through the Montverde system, now coming through, you know, what I believe to be a very impressive campaign for Arkansas. You know, they had a top 10 defense in the country. You know, they did play competitively and get some big wins along the way, you know, throughout the season as well against, you know, tough teams. And I think that he was, you know, a high usage player during those games. So in terms of what he can do at the NBA level right now, like, yeah, probably not all that much. But I think even guys selected potentially ahead of him might even be more raw. I think Jonathan Kuminga is probably more raw than Moody in a lot of ways, especially when it comes to his shot selection and his actual three-point shot as well. You know, I think Evan Mobley, who I really believe is, you know, a perfect big for the modern NBA, is going to take some serious time before he'll be able to have a real role at the NBA level, considering just his frame. I mean, he needs to add a decent amount of muscle mass before he'll be able to do anything, you know, at all against someone like Joel Embiid or Anthony Davis. And I think you saw a similar thing with Kevin Durant coming out of college, right? You know, it takes some time for your body to develop. You know, you're seeing it right now with even someone like James Wiseman, who's really, really struggling right now. But I don't think the Warriors regret taking him at number two overall, even though I don't know if he's ready to be an NBA player at this moment.
Talking with Brian Kilbrowski from USA Today here on Ruskin and Zach. So how, if at all, does a player doing well or a player kind of shrinking in the NCAA tournament, does that impact what these GMs and scouts are looking at in any way?
Maybe I think it's a case-by-case scenario, yes. I think in any way, yes. I don't know if I would say, you know, across the board, you know, it's a make-or-break time. I think a lot of times when you see, you know, players who move up or down considerably during those moments, you know, it's something that you might regret, you know, being like, I shouldn't have moved him so high. I reacted too much to a small sample size. You know, Max Amos from Oral Roberts, like, is still going to be a liability on defense and is still going to be undersized, you know, no matter what he's in the tournament. There's nothing he can do to change any of that. But, you know, on the same token, you know, I think it was really helpful to see kind of the clutch gene in someone like Jalen Suggs, who was able to really step up and, you know, completely hit that shot in a way that he seemed poised and ready to do at his age. I think similarly, you saw in the national championship that someone like Drew Timmy can kind of get thrown around a little bit by a more physical team like Baylor. You know, those are the kind of tests that you have at the next level. I think, you know, especially with a situation like Gonzaga, when they weren't going against necessarily, you know, as tough of a competition during the regular season, you actually see what they would potentially do against a more NBA-style team, you know, moving forward, which is how you kind of have to evaluate a prospect. So, you know, I think that sometimes, you know, playing under the big lights, you know, tells you a little bit about someone's character. I certainly believe that to be true. You know, I think that, you know, you kind of see sometimes, you know, that in Damian Lillard, where he doesn't shy away from the big moments. And those are things that I do think matter. Those are intangible. Those are character traits that I do think matter. You know, I mean, I personally have interviewed Moses Moody myself, and, you know, just strictly off of, you know, away from a basketball perspective, I found his intelligence and his maturity to be, you know, top of the charts, really, in terms of just the way that he carried himself, his thoughtfulness, his demeanor. I mean, he was, you know, a true pro at that sense, and he hadn't even played a game in Arkansas yet when I had spoken to him one-on-one last summer. You know, because I think he had committed to Arkansas, but he hadn't even gotten to campus yet. So I think that those are things that, you know, are part of the equation. But obviously, Suggs developed some fans by hitting that huge shot. I think across the board, you see moments like that where a scout starts to really fall in love with a player based off of a moment he may have seen from that player during the tournament. But, you know, I don't think it's necessarily the end-all, be-all evaluation point.
I want to ask you about Davion Mitchell from Baylor. I mean, he's a guy that, I mean, was front and center, and it's an interesting case study because he's 23 years old. I saw a comparison to Fred VanVleet as kind of, you know, the guy that developed a little bit later. You know, the NBA drafts on potential. This guy's, you know, he you know, used Moses Moody as an example. He's 5 years older. Where does a guy like Davion Mitchell, who was clearly the best player on the floor last night, where does he fall into sort of not just the scouting but the draft itself?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think realistically, he is somebody who I think could have a positive role in an NBA rotation, you know, as soon as, you know, next season as well. And I think Fred VanVleet actually is a pretty good comparison. I'm not entirely sure I'm quite there with his jump shot being quite you know, just effective as Fred VanVleet's is, but I do think that ultimately, it can potentially get there, especially, you know, when working with an NBA shooting coach. So Davion Mitchell is somebody who, you know, during the offseason when I first started putting out my mock drafts and big boards for the 2021 class last year, you know, I had somebody who I really trust reach out to me and be like, you need to include Davion Mitchell. Like, I've seen him work out recently, and he looks just completely ready. Like, he's got next. He's ready to take the next step and have an impact. And, you know, I had interviewed Jared Butler and gotten a similar impression from Jared. So I think realistically, Davion's somebody that I would probably have in the top 20 right now, because that's starting to be the area where typically playoff teams are starting to draft. If I were a team, you know, like Orlando, I don't know if I'd have much of a use for someone like Davion Mitchell, because, you know, by the time that, you know, he's going to be able to be at his most impactful, you know, it's not necessarily going to be in line with whatever they're building there, or in Oklahoma City, for example. You know, teams that are fully rebuilding are looking for younger prospects, you know, in the 18-year-old range. So that's sort of my thing. I think, you know, there are plenty of teams, though, like a Philadelphia or a Boston or, you know, even a Toronto that can definitely find a ton of value in someone like Davion Mitchell, you know, in that, you know, 15 to 30 range, because as they compete for a spot in the playoffs next season, they're going to want someone like him who, you know, is now a proven winner who they can go to war with. So I think his long-term development definitely got, you know, some bright spots last night, you know, added to his resume. But I think he's somebody who I definitely would want on my NBA team.
Jalen Suggs obviously had a great tournament. Gonzaga has a nice run. And I think the more exposure that we got to him, the more people sort of fell in love with him and started talking about him being one or two. But at the end of the day, I mean, Cade Cunningham is going to be the first name called.
I would have to assume so. That would at least be my pick. I can't speak for every general manager, so it does depend on the lottery, how that shakes out, who gets the one pick. But for me, it's Cade Cunningham all day. Just that blend of size, shooting, athleticism, playmaking, just that alpha mentality. You know, I think that those are the kind of things you see in someone like Luka Doncic and LaMelo Ball. And those guys didn't go number one, but I think a lot of teams are regretting that. And I think that I'm not saying Cade is either of those guys, but in terms of guys that check all of those boxes, you pretty much only really see that in LaMelo Ball and Luka Doncic at this point. So, you know, I think that for me, yeah, it would be Cade. I think Suggs is somebody who at two or three or even four, far from a consolation prize. He's an amazing asset in his own right. But, you know, it's not quite the same kind of, you know, comp. I think with the comp you hear a little bit more often with Jalen Suggs is closer to like a Drew Holiday, who, you know, Drew Holiday just got, you know, huge back extension himself. And he's been, you know, an amazing pro and somebody who teams have loved to have his entire career. So there's nothing wrong with, you know, Drew Holiday upside. But it is not the same, you know, as like a Luka Doncic upside or LaMelo Ball upside.
All right, Brian Kilbrowski, USA Today, covering the NBA and talking about the draft. Brian, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, happy to help.
All right, Brian Kilbrowski with us here on Ruskin and Zach.
Check out the specials this month at Fish City Grill. Cajun crawfish and shrimp tacos for only $13.99. Horseradish crusted salmon, $18.99. And Tuesday night, crawfish boils on the patio with live music. It's all at Fish City Grill, Fort Smith and Rogers.
Hey, it's Ty Richardson with the Hit That Line Podcast Network. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The Masters is here. And Bet Online has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. Plus, it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website betonline.ag or just use your phone to sign up today and receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You heard it here. You're going to receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Evan in Fayetteville, he wants to put to bed the first president debate. He says, anybody rolling up pieces of paper with John Hansen's face on it and doing blow? No. So,
well, what was Miles Standish? He was the governor at Plymouth Rock with the Pilgrims. He was in charge. Is that the first thing? Or that was a British colony. I guess that doesn't count.
Look,
John Smith and Pocahontas.
George.
By the way, wasn't Pocahontas underage?
Yes.
That's a whole controversy there.
Yeah, okay. That's a whole different thing that we...
You'll see that in your Disney movie, do you?
No, you don't. No.
Okay.
Here, okay. 1789, that's when this thing started. John Hansen's the first president. the first elected president was George Washington. This is what we have discovered this hour. That's it.
Yeah, but I think that John Hanson wasn't president of the United States.
Yeah, he was, in a way. He was. He was the president of the First Continental Congress, which governed the colonies.
But George Washington was only elected by the 55 men of the Continental Congress.
Show meeting. So show meeting.
So he wasn't elected by the people?
Show meeting. Not even a democracy.
Show meeting. If we all just nod our heads, we could have gotten off this. And
this
moved
is
on
infinitely
to-
more interesting than anything else I have over here. Or anything going on in sports. I got to be honest with you. So, all right. Thank you. Another spoiler from a on a text here. King Kong loses to Godzilla.
Yes.
All right. Thank you
very much,
479 for that.
But is it best out of three falls?
No. It's not WrestleMania. The following contest is scheduled for one fall. That's what it is. Remember the Fink? He passed away earlier.
The following contest is scheduled for one fall.
Acker may have us on this. He said John Hanson wasn't in the musical, so. Thomas Jefferson, Aaron Burr.
Yeah, I mean, they're all
the
there.
King, they're all there. Yeah, that's right. Angelica, Eliza, and Peggy. Skylar sisters, they're all there. Yeah, exactly. all right. Does Kong lose or quit? That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that, Rusty.
Out.
Yeah, he's tapping out.
He's tapping out,
but the ref didn't see it. He was distracted by some other guy. That's how it goes. So Godzilla puts the move on,
so,
and Kong taps out, but the ref is distracted.
What's happened in the last 3.5 minutes, we've discussed...
Nothing short of perfection.
It's right on brand for us. We've talked about when the United States started, who the first president was, and why King Kong lost to Godzilla. Text out of the 405. This is exactly why I listen to you.
That's right. Yeah. It was not a best 2 out of 3 falls. It was not a cage match either, I don't think.
DC wants to know if John Hanson is a descendant of the Hanson brothers. Now, are we talking about the Mop Hansons
or the Hansons?
Again, need to be clear.
That's a terrific movie. Never play Lady of Spain again!
Scott wants to know if we're hanging out with Joe today. No, we're not.
No, this is just normal.
This is what... I ask this question once a year, and you guys take the bait every single year.
Mm.
John Hanson was the first president of the United States. That's the end of it. 1789 is when this thing started. We're rewriting history right here.
Okay.
All right.
There we go. All right.
You have TV reviews?
I do.
Let's do this.
So, I watched Aaron Rodgers on Jeopardy yesterday.
Oh, God.
And I'm going to tell you, we may have a winner in this contest for who's going to be the next host of Jeopardy. We may have us a winner here.
Is it LeVar Burton?
No. Aaron Rodgers. He has moved into the clubhouse lead in my standings as the best guest host they have had.
Did you see LeVar Burton?
He hasn't been on yet.
Well, LeVar Burton went full Razorback tight end petitioning for a job.
Oh,
he went to the sign the petition.
Terry Lambert.
Oh man, don't do that. he went to sign my petition.
I'm sure he will do a great job. I think this is going to sound. I think they want to go younger. Isn't LeVar Burton almost 70? 65, something like that?
I think so.
So they could be in this same spot, God forbid, in a few more years. I think they want to go younger. And I think Aaron Rodgers could do that job. Now, I don't know if he will. That would be kind of an upset. But he's so upset with the Packers. I mean, they had this thing at the end, too, on Final Jeopardy. So this guy, the returning champ, is out of it. He's getting housed. Mm-hmm. The player in the middle's got like 22 grand. So the Final Jeopardy question is about TV and so he did one of those deals where he wrote down on the little screen something that had nothing to do with the response.
Name three people who haven't been in my kitchen.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So here's what happened.
Scott, did you come up with the correct response? Who wanted to kick that field goal? That is a great question. Should be correct, but unfortunately for this game today, that's incorrect, and you're going to lose 0.
Okay, I'm going to say this now. He doesn't have the voice for it.
Oh, I think
he doesn't. You go from Trebek to him.
Yeah, but see, what you don't have there is the gameplay, and the gameplay was really like you don't have time to be nice when you're running Jeopardy. Like, if someone gets one wrong, you can't go, oh no, I'm so sorry, that's incorrect. You have to do, like, who was the first president? Bam, Zach. Who is George Washington? No. Like, you have to keep it going. And he did that. He could do this. He could do this. He's certainly better than Dr. Oz. I mean, well, give me a break. Come on.
Look, I think they are plucking or trying to pluck from the very shallow end of the gene pool on this. I mean, it's a novelty. It's funny to have Aaron Rodgers, but no. Mm.
He could do this. Hey, he should do this. I mean, it's enough already with the football. I mean, what's he got left to do? Come on. He's done it all. And the Packers are never going to give him what he needs to win another ring up there. So, I mean, enough of this already. Go out there, work 35 days a year, being a game show host, and, you know, enjoy Hollywood with your new wife, Shailene Woodley, from that show that Zach doesn't know.
When you talk about shows that I don't know, I mean, that is a long list. What's her name?
Shailene Woodley.
Never heard of her.
She was recently in Hot Springs with Aaron Rodgers. You weren't there, but
I mean, no, I
someone
was not
was there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can we get the deal on
can
that?
Just,
like, can someone
just,
call in about
be,
that?
Be,
like,
he's right. Can we just put? Can we put the bullet to the head of Jeopardy? It's over. The
run it's
is
not over.
Run
no,
it's over.
No.
I mean, let's come back with some primetime specials and stuff. You do your Champions Week, that sort of thing. But the day-to-day grind of Jeopardy is just—it's old. Game shows are out.
No, they're not.
They are. Reality shows are in.
No, they're not. The game shows are in a renaissance right now because anytime they need to fill an hour or two or three, they're putting game shows on
phrase,
ABC.
The key phrase there is when they need to fill an hour.
I mean, Press Your Luck's on, Card Sharks, Pyramid, Millionaire.
Who watches this? You and shut-ins watch this stuff.
Well, then why do they keep putting them on?
For you and the shut-ins.
They keep putting them on. They're cheap to produce. And people watch them.
Ugh.
I mean, they're not turning in numbers like for a Super Bowl, but for primetime television, pretty good numbers.
Can't do it.
They're pretty good.
Can't do it.
Celebrity Wheel of Fortune, Celebrity Family Feud.
But
I want all this stuff.
D-list celebrities. Kathy Griffin's been on more of these things than A-listers. I want to see Clooney get up there and do it.
Clooney's not going to do it.
I know he's not going to do it.
He doesn't need
it. What about Wahlberg? What's he doing? Farrell? How about Farrell to host SNL? Or not SNL, Jeopardy. As Alex Trebek.
Do you think that's a touch disrespectful? I mean, the man's dead.
How long have we been doing this show?
No, that's
I really don't care anymore. We've blown through every stop sign when it comes to being disrespectful.
Unbiased and unafraid.
This is Ruskin and Zach.
26th of the hour here on Ruskin and Zach. Looking into this Musselman contract deal, he put pen to paper 2 years ago today, April 6th, 2019. And everything then went to April 30th of 2024 is when they... So there's supposed to be this reset at the end of the month. I don't understand any of that. Why wouldn't it reset now, today? It's April 6th. Like the new calendar year begins, right? Or just tear it up and start over. You can do that. I don't think the dates on the contract have anything to do with why this isn't done. There is something that is a hang up here that is the reason this is not getting done. Like, put your pie-eyed optimism away. There's something in there that is a sticking point. That's why this hasn't been done yet. I don't know if it's money or a buyout or what it is, but something in there is a sticking point on either side, theirs or his. I don't know which one. Otherwise, it should be done by now. We shouldn't even be talking about this anymore.
Season ended 6 days ago.
No, 8 days ago, right?
No, it's Tuesday. Well, it would have been Monday. So, okay, yeah, 8 days ago. It's okay. It's okay.
Something that's... Now, we may never know what that is.
No.
But there is something in there that is... cause some sort of a contention here. Otherwise, this is a rubber stamp deal. What do you get? Okay, yeah, well, approved. You know? Well, I mean, that's a... wonder what the one... Man, wouldn't you love to be running the Xerox machine when those things are going back and forth? Oh, it's... what is it now? Oh, it's that. Oh, okay. Take a little peek.
I think you're blowing this way out of proportion.
I am not blowing this out of proportion.
Do you have any information to support what you're saying?
Why isn't it done?
Well...
Okay, A, he's still dude, does anybody have any information that he does support the fact that it is going to get done?
He's still under contract, right?
Yeah, through 2024.
Okay, so he's not technically due a raise.
No.
So
but you can't pay an Elite Eight coach the 13th best money in the league.
Hang on. Let's say he gets back from the Elite Eight, and Hunter says, you know what? Come on in my office next week, and we'll talk.
Maybe so.
It doesn't have to get done today. It doesn't have to get done tomorrow. What you want is the right deal.
That's what I'm saying. What if the hangup?
What if they talk about this for a month, they get it all ironed out, they sign him to a deal that he's happy with, that everybody's
happy. Well, if this goes on for a month,
your head will explode.
That's not good.
He's still under contract. Legally, Yurecek's not under any obligation to do anything.
Here's the concern. Mm-hmm. Here's the concern. Arkansas has never been in this position before, and they're going to screw it up.
You're panicking.
I'm not panicking. I know who's in charge over there, and they're going to screw it up. It's not Yurecek, it's the lawyers and the board. Those morons. That's who's in charge.
It's okay. Look, you let him have his moment. Let him have his run. It's fine. You bring him into the office next week, and you said, "Let's get this done." Mm. That would be this week.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know. Aaron in Hot Springs says he's holding out for Diet Coke. We don't know what's in that bottle. We don't know. Yeah. All right. I just find it every day that goes by, it's more interesting. I'm not panicking. I mean, he's going to work here. I mean, it's just that.
Is he?
How is this going to affect the relationship? If this gets, you know. I want this. No, you're not getting that. Well, I want this. Well, you're not getting that. I don't know.
That's not the way Yurecek works. I think we know that. He'll get the deal done. Just patience, Grasshopper. Patience.
Yeah, but will those dopey lawyers over there approve it? That's the question.
Oh, now that's a whole different story.
I mean, come on now. I mean, it's... We can't have nice things around here. So, I mean, there's a reason to have a little concern. Not much, but a little. You know. Maybe. Okay. This is the first time, though, in any of our lives where they're actually willing to pay people, though. I mean, Browse is making $1 million. Like, mm-hmm. They've never been willing to pay coaches over there, ever, until now. So that's a good thing.
That's because they got a good deal on the head coach.
That's a good deal for the fan base right there. Because, I mean, they have been cheap, cheap, cheap over there for 40, 50 years. It's a joke. And I worked over there for a year. I know how cheap it is in there. You couldn't go get a slice of pizza after a game. Oh, I don't know. We can't do that. Can't spare it. Come on. All right. You're getting the pizza free. It's part of the deal. Anyway, it doesn't matter. John is in Little Rock. John, what's going on?
Cheap until they want to pay people to leave, you know, and then you've got $10 million to get rid of the ex-head coach of football and everything like that. No. But anyway. Man, chill. Take a breath. What program is open right now that he's going to be skipping to if he doesn't get his way? Texas got filled. Oklahoma got filled. North Carolina got filled. Is he going to Texas Tech or Loyola?
It's not about that. It's about you are due to be better than the 13th highest paid coach in your league when you go take a team to the Elite Eight. I mean, that's what it's about. It's about respect.
I agree, but the tournament ended yesterday.
Their tournament ended a week ago.
Well,
and he's already gotten one player out of the transfer portal. He's busy.
I know. Hey, he's just a busy guy.
It's just you're acting like an Arkansan right now, knowing that something is going to.
John, how dare you?
Slip away! Oh my God, we're going to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. Right now, that's how you're acting. I think we're going to be okay with this one. Of course, if we're not, you're going to call me out, and I'm never going to ever participate.
That's true.
In this show ever again.
That's true.
So, but I think we're good.
Okay.
Other than that, I've got to say it's been an informative show. I've learned a lot today. I think I might just be more confused.
Now, John, what we have given you is a lot of information, correct or otherwise.
Yeah.
We've given you a lot of information.
Well, I mean, I've got a lot to write down in my journal tonight, for sure.
All right.
Anyway, all right, take it easy.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. All right. All right, I'll be in Arkansas, and I'll start. I'll go back to counting clips in one shining moment.
Please,
all right,
that's please be disrespected please. That way.
That's right. Five should have been eight. It should have been eight. Should've Why been wasn't eight. That one play in there that everyone saw? Here, come on. The iconic moment was Musk standing on the table, and that was in there. So I mean,
the it's, iconic it's complete moment. To me.
That was the iconic the Arkansas moment
okay,
of the
yeah,
tournament.
The key word there is Arkansas moment.
The iconic Arkansas right. moment of the tournament was Musk standing on the table when they won the round of 32 game. Or was it the Sweet 16 game? I think it was the round of 32 game. Anyway, that was clearly it's iconic. We don't remember when it occurred. And they had that in there. So it's a complete story, I guess. I don't know. All right. There you have it. 866-285-4005. I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just thinking about this because I'm sitting in there bored in there. And I'm not on a side. I'm just generally observing here, and I don't want to get anybody's feelings hurt here, but I'm just generally observing here, okay? Because the truth is, it doesn't matter what our opinion is on what I'm about to say. It's irrelevant. But given what has been done in our state legislature over the past few months, would the NCAA withhold postseason from, say, baseball or softball, who are both really good, coming up here over the next few weeks? I don't think they will, because there's not a lot of corporate pressure with the baseball and softball tournaments to, you know, move around things like this. Like, I don't even know who the corporate sponsor is of the baseball tournament. I don't think there is one. Basketball pays for all that stuff. But I was just curious if that is something that will come up here over the next little while. If there's whispers of the NCAA moving events out of different places for this reason or that reason or whatever it is. You know?
I don't know. Not this year.
Not this year.
Not this year.
But in the future, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We're still COVID-editing. No way.
No. They are going to announce pretty early where the baseball sites are going to be. I saw that. But
now, I could see them, once awarded, no, they wouldn't pull one out. But I could see them maybe moving away from a location for whatever reason they deemed appropriate. But I think once they awarded it, absolutely not.
Well, again, it's they're still cleaning up the confetti up there in Indianapolis, so nobody's really thought of any of this yet. But that's just something that I'm curious about. And when, you know, Major League Baseball does what it does, I wonder if the SEC will move out of the not the Georgia Dome anymore, but you know, whatever the thing is, the Mercedes Benz.
Where are they going?
I'll go to the Superdome for the championship game or something. I don't know. Or you could go to Tampa, go to Raymond James.
Ugh.
I don't know.
No.
If you want to play the game outdoors for the first time in over 30 or almost 30 years. Because the first, like,
now you're talking about the
football
the,
championship.
The football championship.
Game.
No, yeah. It's going to stay. It has to stay in Atlanta.
No.
It just, they tried to play the ACC title games actually at Raymond James, isn't it?
It's in Charlotte.
It's in Charlotte now. They tried.
I don't know what's in Raymond James.
They tried it in Tampa and it didn't work.
They could do it in Orlando at the Camping World Stadium.
The Georgia Dome, or I guess now the Mercedes-Benz Dome, such a perfect location for that. Centrally located for all the schools.
Well,
except Arkansas.
Something, they're never there anyway, so it doesn't matter.
That's true.
But it's just something that's going to be interesting to see how the guys in ties kind of sort all this out over the next little while or so. Because that's the way it is, but we'll see. People are some of these big sponsors are getting upset about things, but I don't think the big sponsors really care where the baseball or softball or track.
No,
they don't care where
that's
these things are
political.
Contested.
That's more political than financial.
Yeah, but a few years ago there was that thing in North Carolina where they yanked the tournament away over that that bathroom thing.
Is losing the Major League Baseball All-Star Game a big deal?
Well, I mean, for that city for a few days, I mean, you're talking millions of dollars. It's gone out of the economy there. So
losing something like the SEC title game, tournaments, that would be, I think, would be a bigger deal than losing the MLB All-Star game.
No.
Is tourism going to be increased? How many people travel for the All-Star game? Not a ton.
Depends on how open the stadium is.
But I'm sorry, in a normal year, I mean, you're not getting people traveling from Arkansas to go to the Major League Baseball.
All the players going to Magic City to get the wings, though. I mean, that's all.
Tell you what, next time I'm in Atlanta, that's where I'm going.
Get a really long layover at Hartsfield-Jackson so you can go over to Magic City.
I think I'm flying soon, and I may see if I can reroute myself through Atlanta. It's nowhere near where I'm going, but if I can get like an 8-hour layover, I can see myself dashing.
Well, if you're
out
leaving
there.
This airport, it's a highly likelihood you're going to go there because you're either going to Charlotte or Dallas or
no, where I'm going
Atlanta.
Is a straight shot.
Oh, you got the direct flight, huh? Oh, wow. Look at you.
Yeah.
It's impressive. That is impressive.
But if I can somehow reroute myself, how far is Magic City from the airport?
I don't know the answer to that. Okay. Someone would have to MapQuest that. Let's see what that what
all
that
right,
is.
I'll do it.
Address for Magic City.
Bill, pardon me. Bill says it was a $100 million hit to the economy to not have the All-Star game down there.
I want to know who does those calculations.
Well, it's probably like Chamber of Commerce or because
they don't
people
have
like that.
They don't have any sort of vested interest
the
in that.
The same people that tell you how much a Razorback home game means to the economy up here, you know, $70 million a weekend or whatever it is, something like that. Because it's hotels, it's restaurants, it's all assumed. You know, how many people are coming in, how much is the rate, how much is the average dinner, all that stuff. Cab fare, Uber fare, all that stuff.
Okay, so I've looked at Magic City is like right around the corner from the Mercedes-Benz Dome.
Okay, but that's not close to the airport.
I'm working on it. I'm working on where Hartsfield is in relation to this.
It's south
of the dome?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I got it. Yeah, it's an Uber hop.
It's a long MARTA ride.
Yeah.
I had it happen.
New.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. I'll make it happen.
Here's a text that says Bill is a liar.
Who's Bill?
It's probably $50 million.
Who's Bill?
The guy that said it was $100
million. Who the hell's Bill?
Here's a text that says Magic City is gettable from the airport.
You know what? That's the kind of can-do attitude I was looking for.
I like that.
No. And an 8-hour layover, I'm going to go to Magic City for some wings.
Yeah. I got another theory for you. Okay. I know I was talking about this earlier. Mm. I think Paul Pierce got fired from ESPN on purpose.
Okay, what did Paul Pierce do?
So he was on Instagram Live over the weekend partying with like strippers and smoking the doobie and all this stuff.
Was it his video or did someone take a video of him?
It was him.
He took the video. Yeah. That was a piece of information you did not share with me.
Yeah, it was on his deal.
And then he put it on social media.
Out on Instagram, yeah. And they fired him. I think he was trying to get fired. He's got a better deal cooking with these Barstool guys. So
Pierce video.
Check it out.
Strippers, you say, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. I haven't seen it. I don't know if they're clothed
or not.
I'm
working on it.
I'm sure you are.
I am efforting.
I would expect nothing else.
Don't worry about that. I will take care of that. Yes, here it is.
He did it on Instagram Live?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Because you're trying to get fired.
It makes
no
sense.
From a family company like Disney, you know?
It makes no sense.
A company with a family image anyway, like Disney and ESPN, you know?
Hmm.
I think he's got a better deal cooking. I mean, look. Don't they ask those guys? Do they still ask those guys to like do like 5 SportsCenter hits a night? Like enough of that. Like who has time to do?
But Paul Pierce isn't doing 5 SportsCenters a night.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. We're doing all those half times and pregame and all that stuff.
He's doing like the NBA. What's a show they have? NBA Countdown.
Yeah. I mean, with Maria Taylor.
Look, he has the same sort of workload that we do.
This is not heavy lifting. He's got help.
Yeah, well, that's true, too.
No disrespect, DQ. He's got a team of people. We got one person helping us out.
And frankly, she's not been very helpful to me lately.
He did it live, the video.
Oh, that's bad.
Of course, Hacker was there to watch it.
Well, of course. Why not? I mean, I think he did it on purpose. I think he sabotaged this deal. Because he's got some big lucrative deal going on at another one of these companies, Barstool or the Ringer or whatever it is.
The Kraken, and she would know, says that strip club purchases can be considered sensory therapy and covered by insurance.
No way. Is that true?
That's what she says. And I believe her.
We're
going to test this theory.
Get that stopover in.
Yeah. Ty, if you're listening, I just found your way out.
Yeah. Get that stopover in Atlanta. I think if I say layover, it really has a bad, it doesn't work. So I'll say stopover.
Magic City has a real bad connotation.
I don't want to say layover, but I'll say stopover. All right. It is 9, almost 8 till the hour here on Ruskin and Zach. The 74th birthday of John Ratzenberger. That's right. Cliff Clavin.
People who've never been in my kitchen.
That's right. It's a well-known fact. All right. John Ratzenberger. What did he do besides that?
Oh, he's the voice of
he's in
like 100 Pixar movies.
That's right. Yeah, he's in the animation
Doctor
game. That's
Pork,
right.
What is it? Pork Chop, the bank in the Toy Story movies?
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. That's some real money, too.
Oh,
that's
voice and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Man. They pay all the money there.
And then you get the residuals off of it. I mean, Toy Story, I think.
Well, if your voice is in like the toys, don't you get more money then too? Like Tim Allen's still making Buzz Lightyear money, probably.
So Tom Hanks is making Toy Story money.
Yeah, Woody.
Yeah.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.